This Fab FM podcast is proudly brought to you by Bendigo Bank, Port Douglas and Mossman, offering a full range of competitive banking products and technology you'd expect from a big bank with the personal service and care you'd expect from us. Drop into your nearest branch at Port Village Shopping Centre or Front Street Mossman. Bendigo Bank, the better big bank.
Time to talk to our tech guy here at Fab FM, Richard Pascoe. Always enjoy our chat weekly here on the podcast. G'day, Richard.
Hello, Paul, and hello to all the listeners of this wonderful podcast out there. And as an online review said the other day, you will get no better audio quality than on this podcast. Please.
Okay. It's all right. My end. I hope your end is okay. No, you sound loud and clear because you probably got a new smartphone, have you?
I'm using the Samsung S25G at the moment until the new iPhone comes out. So I do jump and change my phones, as you know. And when we do swap smartphones, Paul, that brings me to the subject. You've got to make sure you get all your data across, don't you? Which you and Marion recently had to do.
Absolutely. You have to do that. And is it an easy job or a hard job?
I think it's an easy job, but that's my job. To think it's an easy job out there as well. But for some people out there, they have a difficult time. And I've dealt with a few people in the last couple of weeks who've had an awful time doing this. And I've got to say, depending on what telco they take advice from at the time. So whether it's an iPhone or an Android phone, you've got to make, you want all your photos to come across, you want your contacts, all your information, all your apps to come across. So an iPhone, you've got two choices. One, you can restore from an iCloud backup. That's the solution I'd really like, or restore from an iTunes backup. Not that keen on it. A lot of times that can run into issues. So the iCloud backup, everything is continuously backed up on your iPhone, and then when you swap, you come along and say restore from iCloud backup, it all comes back down. The caveat with that, Paul, is you've got to make sure that it is actually backed up to iCloud, which is in the settings. And it will go along and say your last backup was on this date, this time. Now, if it says the last backup failed 5 years ago, you're in a bit of trouble, Paul, aren't you?
Yep.
So that's happened to a couple of people. So you've got to make sure that it's always backed up in there as well. On an Android phone, there is an app called Google One. Now, that does pretty well exactly what the iCloud backup does on the iPhones. You pay about $25 a year. You put the Google One app on your current phone, and it continuously backs everything up. Then when you swap to your new Android phone, you sign in with your Google account, install the Google One app, and it says, do you want to bring everything back? Yes, I do. It all comes back down.
Beautiful.
Nice and simple, isn't it, Paul?
Beautiful.
And make sure that you know your Apple ID and password, and for Google, your Gmail address and password. Now, if you get somebody goes along and says, you've forgotten your name or your password, let's just sign you up for another one, you stop right there, because you will never get anything back if you go along and change those details.
Good information from you as usual. Now, this next one, we're going to talk about online reviews, and I have a little pet hate with this, and you may mention something similar, but whenever I'm staying at a hotel, and maybe I haven't stayed there before, I go to have a look at the online reviews, and often you'll see people really knocking the place. Oh, the staff are terrible. You know, I was greeted by this person, and they weren't friendly. I was kept away awake all night by the noise of generators or whatever it happens to be. And then down further, it has no terrific hotel. So I go to stay at the hotel and I find out all of that is untrue. They got friendly staff. I'm not kept awake all night. So, Richard, can you trust online reviews?
In some cases, no, you can't. And you brought up a prime example of that, Paul, and I've had that myself. You know, sometimes you'll go to restaurant reviews, and it's because I don't understand why some people write a scathing comment, and you really enjoy your time out there as well.
Yes.
When it comes to tech products, it's exactly the same. If it's a seller's site or a retailer's site, and they've posted reviews from people on there, and they will post glowing reviews because they're trying to sell that product. Will you get a dud review on that site? No, you won't. So you've got to do your research sometimes with online reviews as well to go on and say, are they true or are they not? And to give these people some idea, I don't review many things, because I've got a bit of a caveat in there that if I review something, I'll normally, it's a product I own and I've bought myself, so I can give you an honest review about that product. But you know, I get companies will approach me sometimes, give people some ideas, and they'll say, look, we'll send you this to try. You'll have it for 3 months. Make sure you write a good review. And the words come out of their mouth. That's not how it works. No. I always give honest reviews. So that's why sometimes I get some companies will send me some things and, you know, I'll absolutely love them. But, you know, you get the really good company, companies that will come along and they don't care if it's a good or a bad review. We want honest feedback, Richard. And that's what one company told me about a mouse that I reviewed once. Because yes. I said, it looks like the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. You don't want to send that to me. Right. And she said, you will really enjoy it, Richard. I don't care what you write, but give it a good go. And I did absolutely love the thing. But at first sight, I thought I was going to hate it. And that they were quite willing to send it to me because they knew I would love the product, not that they were after a good review. That's a sign of a good company to me, Paul.
Absolutely. And if they say something like, we'll send you this, but do us a good review, that's really bribery, isn't it? And I mean, and that's something
no,
that
it's
I...
terrible.
Yeah. It's cash for comment.
That's exactly right. There was an antivirus company did that to me once, and I said, no, I'll give you an honest review. They said, well, we won't send it to you. I said, fine.
Good stuff. And you know what I like about online reviews is where if I'm looking, say, a hotel or a restaurant and somebody – and look, let's face it, people get into a bad mood. You might have one staff member that makes a mistake or something like that. But what I love is when I see the hotel manager come back with something like, yes, understand your problem. We apologise for that.
Yep.
That has been rectified, or you've had a bad situation. Next time you come in, please make yourself known, and we'd like to maybe give you an entree for free, or we'd like to give you something, an upgrade or whatever.
Yes.
I love it when the manager or somebody representing that company does come back in the review and address it.
And that is a big lesson for every tourist place up there. If you get a bad review, don't ignore it, action it. You really need to go along and respond to that comment because it will show anybody else going to that review site or going to your website or your Facebook page that you tried to help that person, and it will negate that review.
I've done a lot of media training in my days, and one of the things, and we often in my classes of media training, we had companies and you know, bosses of those companies, and I always said to them, if a mistake is made in your company, don't matter whether it's small or large, own it. If the media call up for a comment about it, do not say no comment. Always address that particular issue. Make sure that you endeavour as much as you can for it not to happen again. And if the media comes, speak to them. Say, yes, we made a mistake. Something happened like that. It's been rectified now. We love our customers and we will do everything in our power for it not to happen again. That's the way to handle something. You own it. You fix it up and you tell the people that you've done just that.
Exactly. Pity we couldn't get politicians to do that, isn't it, Paul?
Yes. Well, that's you. They're your Achilles heel, aren't they? The old pollies.
They are.
Well, we're talking with Richard Pascoe, our tech guy here on Fab FM. We do a weekly podcast with Richard, and we'll tell you his website at the end of it, because his website is chock full of great information for you. Now, when cassettes went out, I went, yes, 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 never to come back, because cassettes, of course, they always got tangled up, and then you had to get the little pen in to try and fix it up. You try to fix it up with the old ballpoint. And I thought they're never coming back. But in fact, cassette sales, not only are they back, but sales have more than doubled in 2020.
This stunned me. It really
yes,
did. So
me
talk
too.
About the comeback kid of a piece of crap, the cassette. You know, if I want poor audio, I always bought a cassette. So, you know.
Absolutely. Well, absolutely. And look, cassettes are the gift that keep on giving.
They are. So, yep, yeah, the use for, and how many times, Paul, would you put a cassette in the car and you'd be driving along, might be a hot day, and suddenly the thing starts to melt and go all over the place, and we're going to pull tape out. The dreadful things they were.
And Elvis would say, Viva Las Vegas.
And used to curse, you hit the eject button, and then they'd say, oh, absolutely awful. But they've actually, this year, and it's one of the great, you know, great things we've got from the COVID crisis out there, is a 103% increase on cassette sales in the first half of 2020.
But maybe the new cassettes don't jam. Maybe the quality has been improved. For what reason do people
you and me and the listeners, no, cassette's a cassette.
Okay.
It's crap. So, yes. Right. I think people are longing for that nostalgia. Can I just say, if you're longing for nostalgia, this is not where you need to look at all, you know, for that. So, believe it or not, 65,000 cassettes were purchased in the first half of 2020.
Yeah.
That's worldwide. And the figures are on course to top 100,000 cassettes for the first time since 2003. Can we have a public campaign now? For the love of God, don't buy these things.
I just can't. Can you? So all the reason that you can come up with why these crap things have come back is nostalgia.
I think it's nostalgia. I looked at the home. It's you know, we bought a few vinyl albums. And I've got to say, vinyl albums, $50 and up, I'm not going to buy one just to look at the cover because I'm interested in the music and everything like that on there.
Yes.
I'm not a big vinyl. I've got a turntable. People want to criticise me. And I do have some old vinyl albums, including a first pressing of the Beatles' Abbey Road out there as well. But, you know, it's I don't need to listen to them because I prefer the audio quality from streaming now. I really do. And if you go back and remember the cassettes, and I do not need to pull out my Sony yellow waterproof one, which had a hook to go on my belt, on there, which I'm going to say is still in mint condition, by the way, as well. Do I need to bring that back to play cassette? No, I don't.
Look, I can understand vinyl coming back because I've got some friends who are into vinyl big time. And there's no doubt that the vinyl sound, if you put it through some decent speakers,
yep,
is a warmer sound than what we got now.
Yeah.
Well, it's true. It's true. Let me tell you, I've done a story for Channel 7 on vinyl collectors. And when you listen to a beautiful vinyl record on good speakers, there is a warmth about it. There is a quality about it, which I can understand why. And people listening to the podcast who are into vinyl, they'll know what I'm talking about.
No, but they will. So, you know, I don't miss blowing off the record before I have to do it and changing the needle and all of that sort of stuff. So, yeah,
no. Bar humbug.
Just you imagine I ran now. I need to buy a needle for my TAC turntable like that. Wash the, you know, really? No, sorry.
And who remembers? Of course, when you bought one of those needles, you had a diamond tip needle, didn't you?
That's it. Yep.
Okay, we get to the crap item of the week, the tech item of the week, and this week, Richard, you're looking at an alarm clock, and you're a bit alarmed about it.
Look, I am, Paul. You remember when we could travel, and what we used to do was...
What is travel? What is travel?
Yeah, I know that. But when we used to travel back in another time, and I hope we can still do that one day, we used to go along and we used to say, hey, Siri, wake me up at 5 a.m. so you can get the taxi. But now we're going back to the days of the pretentious timekeeping. So there is an alarm clock company out there called Hodinkee that is selling an alarm clock which has got gears and cogs in it and for your pleasure inside. It's handmade and everything.
Oh, this sounds fabulous.
Travelling alarm clock. I'm sure Marion will buy you one. It's only cost you a mere $8,279 for the alarm clock.
What a load of crap.
Yeah, exactly right. It's a pocket-sized travel clock. It's shaped like a Leica camera. It's encased in Paul goat leather, dyed with a signature shade of grey on there as well.
No, not just ordinary grey, Hodinkee grey.
Hodinkee, and that's the name of the company that's making this as well. So if people Google the Hodinkee alarm clock, you will see what I'm talking about. The clock face, they've designed a new font called Decimal, which is inspired, as they quote, by old-timey watch typefaces on there as well. And for the kids out there, you wind the clock with a little silver key. There are knobs on the back for setting the time, winding it up, which it lasts 8 days, and you turn the third hand to set the alarm. $8,279. I'll give you a better tip.
Yes?
Go to eBay. You can find one made out of tin for $28.
What?
Yes.
28?
$28. You can pick up an alarm clock on eBay. They'll send it to you. It'll work. You don't need
$8,279. But it's not a Hodinkee.
It's not a Hodinkee. It's a tinny one. So, yeah.
The Hodinkee reminds me of almost Back to the Future, doesn't it? You know, with the sort of mechanised clocks and all of that, the clock tower and all that stuff.
Yep, but that's what we've got smartphones for now, Paul.
$8,279. I wonder how many people would buy that at that price.
Not many. But they wouldn't have to sell that many just to make it. So I'm sure there's some Arab sheikhs around who will be giving them out as presents.
Right.
Politicians might be claiming them on expenses.
Yes. A living away allowance to buy your Hodinkee clock.
There we go. Got to make sure we get up in time.
Well, they'll be saying, I have to get to Parliament. I need a Hodinkee. That's it.
So, yes, not a dinky on a bike, a Hodinkee clock.
Yeah,
so,
terrific. All right, Richard, give us your website.
Head over to talktech.com.au.
We'll catch you next week, and set your alarm for next week.
I will, Paul. Thanks, Paul.